to have Christ condemned and crucified. Having said that, I thought the danger is the more education you have, well, the more you want to share. But every word you pronounce takes time. And there are just so many, well, seconds and minutes and hours in human history. One are the statements of some of the fathers. Saint Cyril of Alexandria declared, "We have been instructed in these matters and filled with an unshakable faith that what seems to be bread is not bread, though it tastes like bread, but the body of Christ, and that what seems to be wine is not wine, but also tastes like wine, but the blood of Christ. Draw inner strength by receiving this bread as spiritual food, and your soul will rejoice." In other words, the external appearances of bread and wine remain. But there is a physical change. But you can't use most dictionaries to look up the word physical to understand your Catholic faith. That's why I told you, I don't think I identify the magazine, and I'd rather not. A widely read national Catholic magazine, where I said in an article that I've been writing for years for that magazine, that there is a physical change. And just as St. Cyril says here, that Christ is physically present. And just you've heard it once, P-H-Y-S-I-S, in Greek, means nature. Christ is present in what looks like bread and tastes like wine by his nature. Now, don't just say by his nature is God, because God was present before. Who remembers? When did the Eucharist begin? Where did it really begin? In Mary's womb. To know that is to begin to understand the Catholic faith. It isn't just that God is present. There wouldn't have been a Nazareth. There wouldn't have been a Palestine. There would not have been a Mary living in Nazareth. As God were present by his divine nature. Because the same divine power that brought us out of nothing into existence sustains us in existence. So God was and would have been present on earth in his divine nature, exercising his divine power. But God became man. And he became man the moment Mary told the angel, "Be unto me according to thy word." So it's the human nature of Christ to dissociate the humanity of Christ from the Eucharist is to be, in the plainest language at my disposal, a heretic. And that's spelled H-E-R-E-T-I-C. And don't you dare if you're sober. Don't you ever dare use the word dissenter when you mean heretic. Richard McBride at Notre Dame University is a heretic. Charles Curran is a heretic. In other words, denying what God has revealed to be true here, His presence, God's presence on earth as the God-man, assuming our human nature so that every breath that Christ breathed was God breathing. Every word Christ used was God speaking through human lips. Let me just read a little bit from the next quotation, St. John Chrysostom. It is not the power of man which makes what is put before us, the body and blood of Christ, but the power of Christ Himself, who was crucified for us. The priest, standing there in the place of Christ, says these words, but their power and grace are from God. This is my body, he says, and these words transform what lies before him. I think I told you. My first Mass on my baptismal anniversary, I was dying at the age of 3 days, to make sure I did not die before I was baptized, so they baptized me. I survived. Then on the anniversary of my baptism, I said my first solemn Mass, St. Michael's Church in Cleveland. I know I've shared these with most of you. I want to repeat it. I was sure I believed in the real presence. I was sure I believed in my priesthood. But, as then in Latin, I leaned over the host and the ciborium and pronounced the words, Hoc est anim, corpus meum. And remember, the priest genuflected after those words and elevated the host and genuflected again. As soon as I pronounced those words, a thought entered my mind. This is impossible. You're supposed to genuflect before a piece of bread to which you had said, this is my body. That temptation lasted a split second. It was a long split second. And the order in which I was saying Mass, I think I told you, was paved in white marble. I almost cracked my knee, genuflecting. And then, 50 years in the priesthood, teaching my own Jesuits for the priesthood and priests for 28 years, having worked with priests all of my life. This is the T-H-E underlined, the heart of the crisis in the Catholic priesthood today. Period. Hell priests need to believe, not in their power, but in the power conferred on them by Christ. And this, by the way, is how Protestantism started, on the first Halloween, October 31st, 1517. Martin Luther abandoned his faith in his own priesthood. I've struggled with bishops who have given up their faith. I've struggled with priests. And this is where you lay faithful can do so much to help priests, either strengthen or, if need be, recover their faith. And there is nothing better than your own great devotion to the real peasants. You know, while I'm at it, St. Cyril of Alexandria wrote, Christ said, indicating the bread and wine, this is my body and this is my blood, in order that you might not judge what you see to be a mere figure. Oh, my friends, the literature, and I'm speaking professedly Catholic literature, on the Eucharist, which reduces the real presence to a figure of speech, to a symbol, to a metaphor, is widespread. And I repeat once more, geographically, not far from where I'm speaking. And that is why I may have said this before, but I'll say it again if I've said it before. The last thing I need is, remember, we planned this class, remember? We had canceled the class, remember? But then, because of my hospitalization in December, shifts in my schedule had to be made, I found myself free on the 16th of March, on the eve of you-know-whose feast day. Well, I just know how widespread is the learned error on the most fundamental doctrines of our faith. Here, the real peasants. I want to share this with you. I think I've said this to some of you before, but I think it's relevant. I was 3 months in the novitiate, quoted by my novice master. Told him, sit down. You know what's wrong with you? Remember? I figured everybody has some faults. I must have some too. He told me, your fellow novices find you an intellectual bully. They tell me you think you know everything. Well, I did not know everything, but I sure knew more than they did. And over the years, here's what I've learned. The hardest thing for an intellectual, I mean it, is to be humble in mind and the deepest humility of mind is submitting our intellect to Christ's revealed mysteries, and this is a mystery. we go on. I should ask, what time is it?
5 to 3.
5 to 3. Well, I really think, well, maybe not spend too much time, because we did cover, remember, something of my experience, but I thought I should share with you of being in Rome. Finally, St. Ambrose, Bishop of Milan, speaking of the Eucharistic change, says, let us be assured that this is not what nature produced, but what the blessing consecrated, and that greater power resides in the blessing than in nature, for by the blessing nature is changed. I thought several times and decided against it. I thought of coming to class with quotations, and I could have provided you with hundreds, I'm not exaggerating, hundreds of quotations from books, periodicals, learned journals used in Catholic seminaries and Catholic universities. Denying what St. Ambrose is here saying. That's why, in speaking about our modern heretics, a Charles Curran, a Hans Kuhn, a John McNeill, who wrote the most learned book defending homosexuality. And of course, what else? He was a prime speaker at the Call to Action in Detroit. One of my main complaints against them is that they don't admit to plagiarism. All modern heretics are plagiarists. And most of them are amateurs. In any case, then Ambrose adds that every Catholic should memorize, surely, the word of Christ, which could make out of nothing that which did not exist, can change things already in existence into what they were not. For it is no less extraordinary to give things new natures than to change their natures. Oh, but hear it. And I hope you hear it again from some priest before you reach eternity. The heart of everything, comma, everything in our Catholic faith depends on whether we believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of Mary, is the living God. The God from whom we came . Now I use the verb except for Christ, who is God, and of the three persons of the Trinity, how many natures do they have? Pardon me for answering. I mean, that's a simple question. It's arithmetic. How many natures? Yeah, the three persons. How many natures? How many? One thing I've told my students as teachers, teach but try never to embarrass your class. So there are three persons. How many natures do those three persons have? One. Is Jesus Christ creator of the universe? Sure. As God. Once you believe that Christ is God, then accept for God, our Creator, we would be what we were, for we became what we are. What were we? Zero. You'd be the empty chairs. How do you do? And this is the key to believe that Jesus Christ is God. He brought us out of nothing into existence. He can surely change what had been bread and wine into himself. In fact, what did Christ do as God? He made Mary his mother. And remember, could Christ, absolutely speaking, have had a human father? Absolutely speaking, yes. But Yahweh chose not to have. Emphasize that when he was conceived in Mary's womb, it was all his doing. And let me bypass question 23. And now it must be a little after 3 o'clock, is it? Yeah. What time is it?
3:02.
Oh, wow. 3:02. Look. Let's take a long, protracted break till 3:15. I like to pray in Latin. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum, benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Santa Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostre, Amen. Mater Dei, ora pro nobis, nomine Patris et Spiritus Sancti, Amen. We assembled at 3:15, and by the way, share a box or two for questions, please.